Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise,
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm the first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that. You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it, then use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael. And Randy, it's a good day to be an Atlanta sports fan, I would say, on this sunny Friday.
Oh, yeah, it really is, man. And congratulations to the Hawks. I thought Travis Schlenk did a really good job last night. And it was always fun when you could talk about the names before they get out there. But overall, you know, I saw the video that you were talking to John and Hugh about. And it was amazing how that arena erupted when Cam Reddish's name came up. I mean, this kid, of course, he's a Dookie, so he's going to get a little bit more attention. But, yeah, I think overall, you know, there's nothing like becoming an instant millionaire, huh?
Well, I don't know, but yeah. It seems like it's probably pretty good. I'll take your word for it. I would imagine that would be an exciting moment for a young man. That was a big part of last night, too. You know, guy Zion Williamson knew he's going number one for a long, long time.
Yes.
And yet, when the moment happens, the emotion still overwhelms you. And for him to be on stage in that moment with his mom and everything that they've been through, that was very, very cool. Same thing with R.J. Barrett. I know Matisse Thybulle later on in the first round. There was a lot of guys up there just kind of being honest about what it's like on that day in that moment. It was a beautiful thing, and it was cool to see the Hawks have two guys in the top 10 as well.
It's a different feeling because, like a lot of them said, you know, you do dream about it your whole life. You do prepare for it as a young. You are out there by yourself as a football player. There's nobody to play catch with. You throw the ball to yourself and, you know, pretend that you're in the NFL. Just like all these kids wanted to be in the NBA, and you're just so happy for them. And like you said, we knew the Zion was going to be the first pick probably back in January, you know, and we knew that R.J. Barrett was going to be – and these guys knew it too, and for it to happen. And you saw the emotion on Zion. We were talking before we came here. He's like a big old baby, just a big old kid, you know what I'm saying? And you love the fact that I guess his mom was supposed to come up a little later, but she's like, oh, my baby up there crying, let me go up there and put my arm around him. And the same thing with R.J. Saw how proud his father was of him. And, I mean, it was just a great night for these young men. I'm so happy for them. Because it is a dream. It really is, you know, fulfilling something that you've worked for your whole life. Your whole life, because they're only 18.
But still, it is. And you did work really hard to get there, and they got there last night. And it's cool to see people celebrate that moment. The first three went the way that we thought that it was going to go.
Yes.
Number four, I mean, I guess was the name or a name that people thought was going to go number four. It just wasn't to the team that everybody thought he was going to go to. We did not know yesterday when we were on the air, Randy, that the Hawks were going to have the number four pick.
Right.
That didn't get reported until about 5 o'clock last night, 5:15 last night from Woj, saying that Travis Schlenk had pulled off a trade to move number 8 and number 17,
yes,
as well as a couple other assets, to move up there into the number four spot. And you have to wonder. And I know that they had Travis Schlenk on the morning show earlier today. We'll replay you some of that as the show goes on. They're not allowed to ask him about DeAndre Hunter yet, which is something that the NBA has to deal with as far as putting hats on stage and trades being made and teams not being able to actually talk about or announce official draft picks until July 7th. That's a long time from now.
Yeah.
That's 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
We're going to be out there on Monday
right.
at the Hawks practice facility, and we're going to get a chance to talk to Cam Reddish.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a chance to talk to Lloyd Pierce, Travis Schlenk, maybe. Can't talk about DeAndre Hunter.
Yes,
it's just
sucks.
So weird.
It's weird because
– pretend we don't know what's happening.
Everybody know.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm saying. And again – it's not really a big deal to me. I just think it's stupid. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
You know that he's going, so why make the kid wear the hat? But, I mean, if you look at back in the day, didn't when Vince Carter was traded for Jameson, they switch hats.
They switch hats.
Yeah. Why can't you do it now? What's the big deal now?
I don't know. I don't understand that exactly either. But what I do think is because Adam Silver is a pretty proactive commissioner, pretty smart guy, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's taken care of before next season.
Yeah, it's just dumb.
We have to do this weird song and dance. Nonetheless, that is the deal right now. But I would love to know from Travis Schlenk and eventually ask him. DeAndre Hunter only worked out for one team.
Yep.
And that was the Atlanta Hawks.
And I forgot that we couldn't talk about it because I was thinking about it last night when they drafted. I was like, I can't wait to talk to him on Monday because I'm going to ask him, was that planned?
We could ask him off the air maybe.
You know, is he even going to be there?
Right. I don't know what I'm saying.
Is he even going to be
there? No, he can't be.
Yeah, he can't be there. Yeah, my question to him was going to be, was that on purpose? Did you really just want to go to Atlanta? But he's a guy that a lot of people, I know I said that I would love for them to pick him is because he's that defender, that dynamic two-way wing that can help out when Trey and John Collins. And he is exactly what they need here. And the thing about him is, Andy, unlike Cam, he's mature. You know, he's an upperclassman. He's a guy that's been through some fires, been through an adverse situation, being the first one to lose to a 16. So he's a guy that, you know, put a lot of big-time college basketball.
Well, yeah, I mean, he gets hurt. They lose in the first round to Maryland, Baltimore County, and are sort of the laughingstock of college basketball for an entire calendar year. He's healthy the next time around, and they make a run all the way to a national championship.
He played his butt off in that game.
He absolutely did. Yeah. I like getting guys like that on your team. That's the second straight year that Travis Link and Lloyd Pierce have added a national champion to their team in the first round.
Yeah.
Amari Spellman last year at number 30, and then DeAndre Hunter. I like having winners.
Yeah,
I know that it's not the be-all, end-all. There's been great players that have been drafted that didn't win a whole lot in college and came in the NBA and were great. But I just like injecting that into the locker room right now where it already seems like Trey is a winner and wants to be a winner.
Yes.
John Collins, the same thing. You add DeAndre Hunter into that with what you said, a guy who's mature and he's been through some trials and tribulations in his college career. I also think adding a guy like that, when you have a Cam Reddish and all of the question marks surrounding Cam Reddish about his motor and his maturity and whatever else you want to say about Cam Reddish, I think it makes it even easier when you already have DeAndre Hunter.
Yes.
If it was just Cam Reddish,
you'd be like, okay. Because Cam's already behind the eight ball a little bit because he's coming off the injury, the surgery, whatever. He's not going to play in summer league. Don't know if he's going to be ready for training camp and all that. So he's a guy that's going to take a little bit more time to develop. He has all the skills to be great. I think he has an offensive arsenal. And we all know the whole thing of the knock, the motor and all that. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and wipe the slate clean. Hey, this kid is a hawk. I'm excited that he's here. He's a guy that if he can develop, and I hate when I say if he can develop, he should develop because now you're a pro. That's the biggest thing now. Now this is your job, and you can always tell the guys who want to be great because basketball is the most important thing. Go out and have fun, all that. I get it. You're supposed to do that. You're young. You got loot, all that. Go have a ball, but don't let that get in the way of your job. And DeAndre Hunter, he seems like it ain't going to get in the way of his job. This kid, Bruno Fernando, looking like a grown man, ready to play right now. It don't like it's going to get in the way of his job. And then he got a former teammate on there.
Right,
three guys. Cam Reddish is still very, very young, you know, and he's going to take some time. Lloyd, I promise you, he's going to be Lloyd Pierce's project. You remember how Dan Quinn said, make Vic Beasley hate him?
Yeah.
Lloyd Pierce is going to do that with Cam.
It's the first day of summer, by the way,
yeah.
So that Dan Quinn-Vic Beasley love-hate relationship is officially cemented. Whatever it is, anyway. Yeah. I feel the same way. And again, to do what Travis Schlenk did. By the way, midday show with Andy and Randy here with you from now until 2 o'clock this afternoon, as always.
We're at Twin Peaks.
Coming to you live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. So come up, say what's up. The beer, currently 30.2 degrees, so very cold.
Yeah.
Come up and get a beer. Start your weekend off right. We'll be here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. I know Dukes and Bell are going to be here from 2 to 7 today as well. Tomorrow, Randy and I will be at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. So if you can't make it to Kennesaw today, come out to Buckhead tomorrow. But anyway, what I really like, and we talked about this last year with Travis Schlenk, and it worked out. It's the same thing this year. He identified what he wanted.
Yep.
He found a way to go about getting it. And now we get a chance to see if it works out like last year did. But if you were one that was worried or not convinced on the day of with the Trae Young trade, okay. But watching the season, I don't understand not being convinced about Trae Young. Add to that the fact that they also got Cam Reddish out of that trade.
Yes.
And again, we don't know what Cam Reddish is going to become. I love grading drafts the day after and all that stuff. That's very funny to me.
Yes.
Also, like, don't value draft grades just because they're good for the Hawks today when you didn't value draft grades for the Hawks when they were bad last year? Let's be consistent about not caring about draft grades.
Because the people who put out these draft grades are they grade them on where they would have picked them.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, I had them there at number four. So, obviously, it wasn't a good pick because that's not where I would have picked them. So, I'm gonna put it down as a C, man. Forget that. You're not going to know how these guys – and you're not even going to know how Trey's draft and the Luka at least for another couple of years down the road. I mean, they're still young developing players. And this team, this Hawks team, they got a lot of young players, a whole lot of young players, first and second year guys. You're talking about bringing in with last year, that's six young players?
Yeah.
In 1 and 2 years? So, I mean, that's going to be the majority of your minutes probably. So, you got to find some vets. I hope they can re-sign a guy like Vince Carter because I think he would rub off really well on Cam.
Well, you'd have to think that – I think they already wanted Vince Carter. I know Vince Carter was going to give the Hawks the first right of refusal, wants to play one more year, says he'd love to be in Atlanta, all that stuff. The Hawks have about $9 million, $10 million in cap space to fill out that roster. Vince only going to cost like $2.5 million.
That's it.
It's only going to be like $2.5 million.
Yeah, damn, you Bazemore.
We'll get to
he's
that.
He's a nice guy, though.
We'll get to that in a
great
minute.
Great guy.
I don't know if he's that nice. They tried to trade him again last night, by the way, for the second draft in a row.
Nobody don't want that 19 mil?
Nobody wants that 19 mil. But Vince, to me, even more than yesterday at this time, is a perfect fit and a need for this Hawks locker room because he plays the position of the two guys that you just drafted in the top 10.
Exactly.
And he's come in with hype, and he's dealt with all that stuff as a young player. If Vince Carter was important for your locker room last year, which he was.
He's super important.
Why would he not be important for your locker room this year?
I completely agree.
I would love to have Vince Carter back.
Completely agree. Let him be a player coach. You remember when, you're probably young, when Shaq was a rookie and Tree Rollins was a player coach? Yeah, man, let him tell you.
I remember when Shaq was a rookie. I don't remember Tree
Rollins. You remember
Tree
Rollins
being
a player coach?
He was?
He had the clipboard, and he was fully dressed in his basketball outfit.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I did not know that.
Tree put down the clipboard and ripped the pants off and went in. Yeah. Yeah, let him be a player coach or something.
And Lloyd looks like he could do that. Lloyd looks like in good enough shape to get out there.
No, I'm talking about Vince. That's Vince.
Oh, I know Vince. I'm saying, but Lloyd too.
Well,
like Lloyd's younger than Vince.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I've had the pleasure to talking to Coach Pierce because somebody was out and I was filling in for somebody, and when he first got the job, got a chance to talk to him, and he was telling, he's out there with them.
Yeah,
yeah, he's playing 5-on-5 with the guys and everything, and he was talking about how he's gonna rough up Trey and everything like that. So why not put Vince? Give him a clipboard and a jacket. And then, you know, he have a sports coat on with his jersey underneath.
Well, you know what he wants to do. He doesn't want to be a coach.
Oh, he wants to be TV.
He wants to be on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
going,
And he's
going
to be very good at it. So, anyway, I'm with you. I think that that's a need that would be great for the Hawks to be able to do that and bring Vince Carter back into this locker room. But to me, the biggest takeaway is, again, Travis Schlenk identified what it was that he wanted. It was DeAndre Hunter at number four. He spent the last – I mean, he's been doing this just – at times systematically over the 3 years that he's been here, but he's really actively been doing it over the last month where he's been acquiring assets. They took on the Allen Crabbe contract for a reason. So you could get number 17 and maybe package it with number 8. You took on the Solomon Hill contract yesterday for a reason. So you could move up and get that number 4 spot. And I know that all of the little individual moves that people see and we react to things in real time. I get that.
Right.
But it's very important with rebuilding basketball teams to keep your eye on the big picture. Travis Schlenk had his eye on the big picture the whole time.
He did.
And the goal was to accumulate assets to be able to move up in the draft. He did that yesterday. He got the guy that he wanted, and I don't know that I could be happier about it.
I know Mike and Carl, they came up with the trust of Schlenk, and it's one of those things. I mean, he has not given me a reason yet not to believe in what he's selling. I mean, the guys come in, and he's trying to put together a roster that can be successful for multiple years. And also, just like Mr. Wrestler was saying, bring in these free agent guys. Oh, I want to go to Atlanta and play there.
All right, we'll come back and get to what's trending, including another really big story today. Brian McCann talking about a pitcher making his debut tonight.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the beard's up.
His work ethic is off the charts. Great teammate, competes as hard as anybody I've ever been around.
Yeah, Dallas Keuchel makes his debut tonight for the Braves. We'll talk to Paul Byrd about that in the 11 o'clock hour. What's trending coming up next? Andy and Randy live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
With the fourth pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select DeAndre Hunter from the University of Virginia. With the 10th pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Cam Reddish from Duke University.
Yeah, and if you thought it was loud there at the Barclays Center or the Barkey Center, depending on how you say it.
Weren't y'all there?
Well, not quite.
Okay.
We were going to go, and then our flight stuff got complicated.
Right.
And then we just ended up going to State Farm.
Okay,
which
no
was
problem.
Really great. Yeah, it was the Hawks official draft party, so we had a really nice time over there at State Farm Arena. If you thought it was loud at the Barclays Center, it was so loud at State Farm Arena last night, and the buzz that was starting to build, because I'm sure you guys had the same feeling when you were watching it yourselves, watching the picks 5 through 9 happen the way they happened.
Yeah.
And then you saw the first 7 guys went the way that they were going to go. I mean, you knew Jarrett Culver was going to go at some point. You knew DeAndre Hunter was going to go at some point. You just didn't necessarily know the Hawks were going to take him at 4.
Right.
And you knew Coby White was going to go in there. And they kind of all started falling into place. But then when Jackson Hayes went 8th, okay, that's kind of the first guy that was maybe went a little higher than a lot of people had him mocked. He was around 10, 11,
right,
that area. All right, so he goes 8th. Well, we just got to see who goes here at 9. Then the Hawks pick at 10. And when Rui Hachimura's name was called by Adam Silver, and I know it had been rumored on Twitter a little bit before that, when Rui Hachimura's name was said by Adam Silver, I have never been happier with a Gonzaga basketball player in my entire life than I was in that moment with Rui Hachimura going at 9. And look, who knows? Maybe he'll be a great addition to the Washington Wizards. Shocking decision that they made to draft him there. But our benefit, because now Cam Reddish comes to Atlanta at number 10, and people went nuts. And what's crazy is, Randy, we've been talking about Cam Reddish for the last 2 months, ever since we found out that the Hawks are picking 8 and 10,
right,
and hoping he would be there at 8, maybe thinking that they would trade up to 6 or 5 or 3 or whatever to go get Cam Reddish, and to not even have to move, get the guy you wanted to move up for to get DeAndre Hunter at 4, and then have Cam Reddish fall into your lap at 10.
It's probably
that's a dream scenario.
It's a dream scenario, Andy, and we've been hearing probably for the last 2 weeks or so, every mock draft pretty much had Cam Reddish to the Hawks at 8. And for them to be able to get him to 10, and Travis Schlenk said that on which we'll let y'all hear in the 12 o'clock hour, that there was a little luck involved in it. And, all right, guys, he's here. And then once Washington made their pick, he's right there sitting in your lap for you to grab a guy like you. And you made a great point with drafting a DeAndre Hunter. It's really no rush to get Cam out there, but at the same time, you want him to try. You want to see if you can try to get him somewhere where he can contribute this year because he is injured right now.
Doesn't it feel like there's less pressure on it than there would be otherwise?
I think so.
Say it was the way that the mock draft said everything was going to go, and the Hawks took Cam Reddish 8th and Jackson Hayes 10th, or one of the overseas guys 10th, and stayed at 17, and Cam Reddish was essentially the prize of the draft. There'd be so much more worry about all that off the court stuff people are talking about, his motor and all that stuff, than there is now. Because you got the guy. If there's one thing that you absolutely don't have to worry about with DeAndre Hunter, it's his motor and his willingness to play defense. That's what you know that you have from DeAndre Hunter. You all right?
Yeah, what's going on up in here?
We're at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
It's lingerie day.
It's lingerie day. Okay,
yeah,
I was like, all right, Charlie, you want to go to the bathroom or something? Threw me off a little bit.
Yeah, Cam Reddish.
Yeah, that
DeAndre
guy.
Hunter.
Yeah, DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah.
But no, DeAndre Hunter was a guy.
We lost him for like yeah, a solid 45
just seconds. Threw me off.
I was trying to go. Like,
I turned to the left. I'm like,
bring it back. No, yeah. He was still out there.
Yeah, threw me a little. But anyways, DeAndre Hunter is going to be an immediate impact player. Do you look for him to be the starting wing once the season opens?
Yes.
I think he will be.
Yes.
Him and Hurd will be the starting wings with Trey at the point guard position. And he gives you so much versatility. We were talking out there. You love a guy who's there. Their main thing is defense. I mean, the guy can score. He can do so many different things, but he likes to lock you down. And that's coming from that Virginia program where it was all about the defense. So, I mean, and he's a mature kid, and he seems like he is going to be that kind of guy that you need at that wing position.
Speaking of Travis Schlenk and how he went about going up to get to the number 4 spot, he was on the morning show earlier today. We'll play you the entire interview in the 12 o'clock hour. Here he is talking about how the trade came to be.
We spent really the last 2 years trying to accumulate a bunch of assets so that we could get aggressive in the draft. And last night we were able to use the assets that we've collected over the last couple of years to make transactions to go up and get guys that we really thought would be great fits with the players that we have here.
If you'd like to listen to the entire interview, it is available on 929thegame.com right now on the morning show page. And I know he was vague there. He has to be.
Right.
He can't speak directly about DeAndre Hunter until July 7th, which is completely ridiculous. Hopefully the NBA deals with that at some point. You heard the clip of DeAndre Hunter getting drafted, and it was by the Lakers, and he had to put the Lakers hat on, even though the Lakers traded that pick to the Pelicans like a week ago.
A whole bunch of.
And the Pelicans traded that pick to the Hawks yesterday. Now, what I want to know is, between putting the Lakers hat on and then knowing he was going to the Hawks, did he have to put on a Pelicans hat at some point?
He has to, right?
Or did he get to skip from Lakers to Hawks?
I don't know, man.
I'm not sure.
It's just dumb. And it's so crazy because they are so young. They look uncomfortable, too, the kids. They look uncomfortable sitting up there like, I play for the Lakers. I am a Laker, kind of, but I'm going to the Hall. I mean, it's just a weird situation that Adam Silver, like you said, he's a progressive type owner. President. Can he just find a way to, you know what? Get it done.
I hope that he can because it's a weird, uncomfortable situation. Hopefully they deal with it. We'll get back into that question that you asked me just a minute ago in about 10 minutes about whether or not the Hawks have found their starting five and about where both of these guys fit into it. And just about the excitement level going into next season, because we were talking about this last night, and Mike Conti posed a very interesting question. When's the last time, coming out of a draft, ramping up to a season, there was this much genuine hype for an Atlanta Hawks basketball
team? It's been a while,
man. It's been a while.
Well, maybe that after that 60-win team. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. But you're talking about – and here's the thing, and I say this a lot about Ronald Acuna. He's our guy. You know what I'm saying? He's our guy. And I think that when you look at how the Hawks are building this team, they're the Hawks fan. That's their guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what you love because we've watched as Ronald Acuna, just a second year, became a superstar. Hawks fans are going to get an opportunity to watch these guys grow. And I think Trey's going to be a all-star multiple time guy. He just seems like he got that swagger about him, and the boy can ball. And you know, and DeAndre Hunter, I don't know what to expect from him, but he's a fundamentally sound player. He's the type of guy that Lloyd Pierce likes. He's very team-oriented. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about him. He wants to lock down on defense. So, I mean, it's just a great all-around selection for him.
When you see what Trey did last night, he FaceTimed both the guys after they
great.
Got drafted.
That's just awesome, man.
Very cool.
It really is.
That's good leadership. Conti asked me last night, is there another young core, and I think he meant in the NBA, that's more exciting right now than the Hawks? I said, well, the Braves.
Yeah.
but in the NBA, I don't know.
I don't see
not
it.
Not that I could think of.
Not that I can think off the top of my head,
Speaking of the Braves, a fun day for the Braves today as well, as Dallas Keuchel is going to make his debut with the team. Brian McCann has played with them before. They won a World Series back in 2017 with the Astros. Brian McCann talked about his former and now current teammate.
His work ethic is off the charts. Great teammate, competes as hard as anybody I've ever been around. Athlete, all of the above. So I can't wait to see him, and I'm happy we got him.
Brian McCann also is a really fun story. We're going to talk to Paul Byrd coming up at 11:20 this morning, a little under an hour from right now. Obviously want to ask him about Dallas Keuchel. He's the story of the day, and Paul Byrd was a pitcher in Major League Baseball for a good long time. Got to ask him about Brian McCann, too, and just the surprise season that he's having and why he's doing what he's doing and how valuable McCann can be for a starting rotation. But the story of the day is Keuchel. What are your expectations for Keuchel tonight as he makes his Braves debut?
I want him to win, but I don't really have any expectations for him because you don't know. You know, it's been a while since he's pitched in a major league game, and what I mean by that is he hasn't done it this season. But he is a pitcher, and he's a guy he's a guy that he's savvy. He he's a vet. He knows how to work the strike zone and all that stuff. And he's going against a talented lineup. I think they move Bryce Harper to lead off, if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, if he can find a way to get through it, if he can get you six today, Andy, that'd be great. You know what I'm saying? But my thing is, are these bats going to help him out? You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know how it's going to go today with him. I was reading something that was like he's 1-0 with a 4.0 ERA and 3 starts against Washington. So all the players that are currently on that roster as it's constructed are 35 for 98, which is a 57 batting average with two home runs.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. So, but we're not going to worry about that. That's when he was in another uniform. He's in the Braves uniform now.
Now he's a Brave.
Yeah, he's a Brave.
So he's good to go.
So you're not worried.
Steven Strasburg is on the mound today for the Nationals, and he had a very nice outing against the Braves last time that they faced him. The Braves are in a great spot right now. They sit with a chance to really distance themselves from the rest of this division between now and the All-Star break. There's five series between now and the All-Star break. The Braves have a 4.5-game lead over the Phillies, a 7.5-game lead over the Nationals, and a 9-game lead over the Mets. They play the Nationals this weekend, obviously. Then they go to Chicago for four. Then they got the Mets. Then they got a couple more series against the NL East. If they can go about this 10-game road trip right now, and I don't expect it to be the same as the homestand. 8-2 on the homestand is crazy. But if they can go 6-4 on this road trip, and Keuchel can give us something to be optimistic about. He'll pitch twice.
Yes.
Give us something to be optimistic about in these two starts. I mean, it's hard not to feel really good about where the Braves are right now.
It is, Andy. But at the same time, we know they still need to make another move to address some of the pitching. But, I mean, we're excited because this is what we talked about in the whole in the offseason about this club. And Keuchel was one of the guys that I mean, earlier in the offseason, I said, what about Dallas Keuchel? And everybody's like, he washed up, had a bad year last year. But he was a name. And I think that's why Braves fans got excited about it, because it was a name. It was one of those names that you would hear on the national TV shows about, you know, starting pitchers available, Dallas Keuchel. So it makes you feel like, oh, God, we got one of those guys. And that has brought a little bit more excitement, because are we banking too much on him? That's my thing. Are we like putting so much on him, like he's a savior of this rotation? I don't think he is, but I think if he can become a piece and maybe that third guy, oh, that'd be awesome.
Paul Byrd's going to join us at 11:20. We'll talk more Braves with him coming up in the next hour. Coming up next, so we'll get back into what the Hawks did last night. I've got a trivia question for you. Can you name the four highest paid players on the Hawks roster going into next year? The names will surprise you. We'll get into that and why that's important coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Andy Randy!
Well, we will be at Twin Peaks on Saturday, too. We basically live here now, Randy.
Hey, man, they got to throw us a bone somehow, because, you know.
Happy
Thursday. First Thursday, right?
Well, second Thursday.
Second Thursday, that's what it is.
First Friday, however you want to call it. Yeah. I want to call it First Friday, because that's a little bit more fun. Friday's always fun.
First Friday, man. I remember they used to do this, like, these parties on First Friday. Oh, my God.
Who's they?
Like, I don't know who the people were, but they used to do it up here in Atlanta First Fridays.
Oh.
Dude, that's when you start arguing with your old lady. You know, well, I don't care. Slam the dough and leave.
Well, it's kind of like what we got going on up here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw today.
Yes,
First Friday type party.
Yes.
I mean, there are going to be people walking around in their underwear. Not you and me. Not
no.
you and me.
Oh, no. I ain't walking around in my drawers.
But it is lingerie day up here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. If you want to come by and have lunch, we'll be here till 2 o'clock this afternoon. I know Dukes and Bell are going to be here for 2 to 7,
yes.
So we're going to be up here all day long.
Yes, and Eric the engineer gets to eat for free twice.
Is he going to be walking around in his underwear?
I don't know, man, because Eric be having all these little...
No, he said no.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, good.
Eric be having all these little chickies up here.
Is that right? I want to get...
Hey, Eric.
Hey, man, I don't want to get him in trouble.
Hey,
I don't
want
to tell his business on the air.
I think about studying Eric, man. Eric got that leadership text, so he want to be walking around his chest out this morning.
You know what people need to know about Eric?
What's
Almost
that?
Not every break, but a lot of breaks, he's FaceTiming with his son.
Yes.
That's just
Oh, yeah.
Good
Noah's
dad.
That. Oh, yeah. Noah's
just
awesome.
Just a good, good
yes.
dad.
Noah, or are you fussing at CNN?
And that's true. Wendy Adams up here with us as well, a producer of the program today. Brian Gebhardt back at the station, and obviously spending a lot of time talking about what the Atlanta Hawks did last night. We will get into an NFL no huddle coming up in about 20 minutes, as there's a handful of different NFL news and notes over the last 24 hours, some Falcon stories as well. But let's stick with the Hawks here. Went to break talking about the four biggest contracts coming up on the team next season. None of them are going to be important role players for the team next year, but it is important that these guys are the biggest contracts, because they all come out off the books after next
year.
And we're talking about Kent Bazemore, who's going to make about $20 million. And the Hawks, again, reportedly were trying to move Kent Bazemore's contract last night. They tried to do that last year on draft night. It's difficult to move a $20 million contract for a guy who's not worth anywhere near $20 million.
Okay.
But at least Kent is a good guy to have in the locker room.
Yes, he is.
Then you have Alan Crabb, who's about $18.5 million against the cap this coming season, uh-huh. 1 year remaining on his deal. You acquired Solomon Hill last night and his $13 million contract, and then you still have Miles Plumlee on one more year of his deal. If you add up those four contracts, which, by the way, if you went roster by roster in the NBA this coming season and took the four biggest contracts on every roster, those are the four
That's
worst
funny.
Guys.
Yeah.
Like,
if you sit there like
against
yeah.
the other guys that you'd have.
Yeah.
And maybe the Knicks would be in contention. I'm sure there's some other teams that have bad contracts. But the reason you have those bad contracts, especially with Solomon Hill and Alan Crabb, is so you could acquire draft picks
right.
and then potentially trade them. That's what Travis Schlenk did. The other good thing is all of that money comes off the books at the end of this year, which allows you next summer to hopefully be big players in free agency. You're going to have like $75 yes. million dollars in cap space next year in free agency. Now you just have to make the Hawks an attractive destination for those free agents, and the next calendar year is big in doing that. You just made two really good draft picks
right.
in the top 10. You've got Trey, you got John Collins. You just got to make the Hawks someplace people want to come to.
And that's the thing, right? We said it yesterday, Andy. I mean, what's good in having cap space that nobody don't want it?
That's
so
right.
This is a big year for the Hawks, because if they do want to be players in the free agency market next summer, they have to make it look like they're – because, it's, of course, it looks fun with their playing. You know, they're a young team, up and down, all that, give up a lot of points but score a lot of points also. But people want to go to a winner too. And if they see that you're on the cusp of winning – that's why I said, okay, they're the only team that I know that some people look at last year as a success, even though their record was god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
But they have got to find a way to string some wins together. I think if they're – make a push for a playoff team, then you got some guys that are free agents like, oh, I could be that missing piece that gets that team over the hump. That's what you want the Hawks thriving for this year. Yeah, why not? Because I heard Travis Schlenk said, yeah, we kind of ramped up this thing because it was like, it's going to be a process and this, and this. Now it's like, okay, we got something here. Maybe we can go for a little bit more now, and with the possibility of we're trying to attract guys that say to themselves, hey, that damn Hawks team, I know if I go in there, I could be that team that might be able to get them to a sixth seed, and then we can keep going from there and there and there. So it's a very important year for the Hawks.
Now, DeAndre Hunter last night, after it was determined that he was going to be coming to Atlanta, said that Atlanta was a place he wanted to be.
Yeah.
When I went there, they had a pretty strong feeling about me. I knew that's the place I wanted to be. That's one of my destinations, and I'm happy they traded up and got that pick.
I would hope so. He's the only team he worked out for.
Have you ever heard a player say that that's not where he wanted to be?
Not often.
Publicly,
not
yeah,
often.
Yeah, I mean, we heard about the whole
Eli
Steph
Manning
Kirk,
said
heard about
pretty
the whole,
clearly he didn't want to go to San Diego.
But I'm saying when he got picked, we knew that Eli Manning.
Before you get drafted,
yeah, but,
they'll make it clear.
But it was obviously that it was obvious that he was their guy. He was the only, they were the only team that he worked out for. Which I don't understand if that's on purpose. Hey. Because we know that, you know, athletes, they got their preferences of where they want to be. But if this is where he wanted to be, which I'm sure it is, good for him, man. I mean, because it seems like they're doing something special here in Atlanta as far as the Hawks. I don't want to get too, like John Freaky over my skis and everything and say
right.
they're going to win the NBA title next
right.
year.
You have no idea.
But they got a chance to make that building over there, that State Farm Arena, they got a chance to have it like it was back in the day, man. And I guess I got a tweet from my man. He just said that. My man Vern said, just hung up with the Hawks ticket reps. You know, guys are already – people are getting excited about this right now, and the season starts October.
I would imagine the website got a lot of traffic last night after the Cam Reddish pick got made. And you're right. It's absolutely justified to be excited about what happened last night, and you should be.
Yeah.
There's no way of knowing what it's actually going to look like
right.
until they play. But I do think it's fun to speculate about what the lineup might look like next year as well. You got your point guard, Trey
yes.
Young. Kevin Huerter is your two at this point.
Right.
You got to think that DeAndre Hunter is probably going to be your starting three at the beginning of the year. And then I guess there's some questions after that. Do you want John Collins to start at 4 or 5?
Please start him at the 4.
You start him at the 4,
yeah.
and then that would mean that you'd probably start Alex Len, or would you just say, hey, we got Bruno Fernando, too.
Yeah,
we're
going to
put him in the starting lineup.
6'10", 240,
right.
got yaks.
And I'm with you. I think that John Collins is best fit at the 4.
Yeah.
But what we do know is, and what happened last night gives us the opportunity to see, is there will be times, next season even, when John Collins plays the five,
oh, yeah,
they
definitely.
Go small.
Yeah.
And Cam Reddish is in there at the four.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that you want to talk about a five that can run,
yeah,
get up and down the court and play the type of basketball that Lloyd Pierce wants to play, that's a fun five.
They
right
better
there.
Keep running. They better keep running, because if they ever slow it down, say they're going against Philly, and Embiid in there, and John Collins gets Embiid, good Lord have mercy.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Yeah, he put him, his mama, everybody in the rim. Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want John Collins to end up on Joel Embiid. But again, the game has changed. It's all about spacing. So that's what he does. He gives you space. He's a great rim runner. And, I mean, there's reason for excitement here in Atlanta.
Can you say the Hawks have their starting five yet?
No.
Or they're still a piece or two away from that starting five?
Well, as of right now, I think you have a starting four. I don't know who's going to be the starting at that big. Well, it's going to be a revolving door according to who you're playing and all that. But I do think that right now you got your stars. You got Trey. I think Kevin Herter is going to be your two. I think that DeAndre is going to be your three, and you got John Collins at the four. So I think as of right now, that's what I think it would be. But who knows? I mean, I got into it. I think it might have been the sports guru who has no type of sense of humor. Me and him were talking because he's like, if they draft Cam Reddish, Kevin Herter is going to go to the bench, and I'm like.
Okay. That'd be fine.
I'm sorry. Don't they got two wing spots? And this is before when they were talking about just one pick.
Right.
You know,
that was before you knew about DeAndre Hunter.
Exactly.
Again, that's all fine with me. Whoever ends up earning the starting job, it's much like the Falcons offensive line right now. I don't really care who starts. I just want whoever earns it to be the ones who are out there.
And Coach Pierce looks like the type. He is the type of coach. You're going to earn it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can earn it. Yeah, you ain't no giving no positions out. I know Kevin here was here, and I like Kevin a lot. They love him. But if Cam comes out and start doing his thing, okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine with me.
All right.
The more competition that you have in that starting lineup, the better. I mean, last year, Kevin Herter eventually took that starting two spot from who? Kent Bazemore? Okay. That's not really the competition that you're looking for.
Now you got that competition.
Cam Reddish and Kevin Herter and DeAndre Hunter and all of these guys, that's the type of competition that you want. That's what you want to see. That's a legitimate roster that could build into something, and the Hawks are on the right track. Last night was very exciting. Thanks to everybody who came out to State Farm Arena, by the way,
yes.
Came by and said what's up. Gave out some free bro hugs last night.
Oh, you did?
That's right. Had people coming up requested free bro hugs. I'll give out free bro hugs at Kennesaw, Twin Peaks of Kennesaw today, too, if you want to come by. It's easy.
Yeah.
Come by, say hi.
And who was my man? Can the Hawks get Clint Capella? I mean, when I heard they were talking about a fire sale,
cool. Can't do it now. Don't have the money, unfortunately. We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Paul Bird going to join us at 11:20. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.